How many jobs did the economy create last month?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, zero jobs created last month, which means nine may be the new normal when it comes to the percent of Americans that are unemployed. How long is it going to take to get back to the good old days of low unemployment? But first, where's Wall Street? Well, as you can imagine, it's down right now. The Dow down 207 points, almost 2% at 11,286. The NASDAQ down 1.7%. The S&P 500 down 1.9%. And it is all about the big jobs report that the Labor Department released this morning. Here are the headlines. Unemployment remains the same, 9.1%. And the economy, as we said, added zero jobs last month. Let's bring in Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, who's with us live every Friday from New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Well, zero jobs, that seems like a new one.
It is actually a new one. It's the first time there's been no change in non-farm payrolls since 1945.
Hmm. Wow. And what's the reason for it?
Well, in part, we can blame the Verizon strike. If not for the strike, it would have been up 45,000. But, you know, behind the strike, there's really widespread weakness. Almost half, 48% of companies shrank. In August, the 52% grew. So there are job losses all over the place, including government, which cut 17,000 workers this month.
And Chris, we're talking about 9.1% unemployment, and a lot of people are now looking out a year or 2 years down the road and saying we're going to be about the same at that point. When can we get back down to 5%?
Well, that's right. You know, even the White House yesterday posted its new forecast showing about 9% unemployment at the end of next year. I think the answer to that question is in the answer to what caused the recession and the sluggish recovery, which is debt. It's very much like the 1930s and the 1970s in the sense that we had this debt binge. And it takes years to work through it. Good news is we've had about half the number of requisite years under our belt already. The bad news, of course, we probably have another 5 years to go, at which point the unemployment rate will fall much faster. But it still takes another maybe 5 years after that to get all the way down to five.
Five more years. Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, now to some big lawsuits that could be filed as early as today. The New York Times reports that a federal housing regulator will sue the nation's biggest banks to recoup billions of dollars lost by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac when the housing bubble burst. Marketplace's Eve Troeh reports.
The Federal Housing Finance Agency says firms like Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and others could have easily seen that their mortgage investments were bad, but they sold them as good, and they should pay big for that. Jack Ablin is chief investment officer at Harris Private Bank. He says the banks don't stand a good chance in court.
It's going to be very difficult, I believe, for the banks to prove that all of their paperwork was in order.
And difficult for the government to hold out all the years it'd take to prove its case. Alyssa Katz has worked as a housing advocate and detailed the crisis in her book, Our Lot. She says it's one thing for banks and investors to sue each other, but a federal agency going to court means
the direct reckoning with some of the fundamental breakages in the structure of the system.
Rather than the let's patch this up and move on approach the government's taken so far, she says a suit from the feds tells banks they can't keep doing business as usual. But holding them liable has big consequences.
Really opening a giant wound that may never stop bleeding.
And if the big banks are bleeding, that's not good for the economy as a whole. I'm Eve Troeh for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
Well, we've almost reached Labor Day weekend, but if you're a meat lover, you better savor that barbecue this year because the price of beef is headed for a stampede next year and beyond. The reason is deep in the drought of Texas. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
This is a story best told by ranchers living the drought. Guys like Pete Bonds.
Hello.
He's got a whole lot of cows.
Tens of thousands.
And not enough water.
The worst drought I've ever seen.
And even the old-timers, he says?
A bunch of old men that have seen the droughts of the 50s and the 30s and even the teens.
Even those old men haven't seen a drought like this one.
This one, it has just flat forgot to rain.
And ranchers who don't have rain don't have a lot of choices. They can buy hay, but hay is expensive because hay is grass and grass takes rain.
And where it has rained is a long way away from Texas.
So ranchers are sending their cows to the slaughterhouse, the older ones first. David Anderson is a livestock economist in Texas.
We make a lot of hamburger out of older cows.
He says right now, hamburger prices are lower than they would have been without the drought because more cows are being killed. But that's a problem for the future.
Because every cow that's gone now is one less calf next year, which is going to become less beef the year after that.
And that means higher prices. Anderson expects the cost of hamburger to go up first, sometime early next year, and the price of T-bones and roasts to jump in 2013. I suppose you could call it the high stakes of the Texas drought.
I mean, if a cow is even thinking about getting old, she goes.
I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, Allstate Insurance has a new report ranking the 200 largest cities in America when it comes to safe drivers. The winner is Fort Collins, Colorado, where the average driver will experience a collision only every 14 years. The national average is 10 years. As for the road scholars who could use a bit more schooling on the road, in L.A., it's every 6.6 years, and the home of the worst drivers is Washington, D.C., where the average driver gets in a crash every 4.8 years. We've got the list at marketplace.org on the right side of the page. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Living Social, Groupon, the Daily Deal, all the rage, of course. But how many discounts can you give before you go out of business?
If you get a response and you're a little teeny sandwich shop for 10,000 sandwiches, that's going to hurt your business instead of help your business.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Good deal, bad deal. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.